Aber das ist gut, oder?
Ja,
scheiße. Sowieso.
Ist gut.
Ist gut.
Sailing.
Alright, cheers.
Cheers. This is a Bonfoil, a podcast for everyone flying just above the surface. Pump, carve, soar, let's foil!
Welcome to podcast number 51 of Up on Foil.
Very you talk special. A lot, huh?
Yeah. That's probably what I'm known for, not for the foiling. Today we're going to talk about, all about you, about your long distance pumps that you did recently.
Yeah.
We talk about your magnificent beard and about your life, on foil, off foil,
all
everything.
All right, let's go, yeah.
You're a pumper, you're a para-winger, you're a foiler, you're a living foiler. Is there anything that you want to add right away?
I used to be a snowboarder, you know, but I've switched to foiling.
Also in winter.
Yeah, I probably foil more in winter than I go snowboarding.
Nice.
I go snowboarding when the slope is really nice, when conditions are good for carving, or when there's powder, but not just like every day. Why? I can go foiling.
It's cheaper.
It's closer. It feels like powder every day, you know.
That's true.
I used to be that powder addict, you know, that went for it every time there was a little bit of powder. But usually, let's be honest, we have like 20... maybe 10 centimeters of freshies, there's rocks underneath, it's sharky. Yeah. You hurt yourself, you fall for like 2-3 nice turns.
A lot of effort to get up the hill.
Yeah, if there's like 50 centimeters of freshies, that's insane. Or 70 bottomless powder, wow, these insane days. Or it's super dangerous with avalanches and stuff. But I like it, I'm still gonna take these days. But on the other days, I'll probably go foiling. It's like the powder is everywhere, unlimited and no rocks.
What is easier to predict, the wind or the powder?
Yeah, well, it's about the same, but I don't need wind to pump, you know? I can
true.
Always
that
have fun on the foil every day.
That is true.
If there's wind or
thanks
if there's
to
no
dock
wind.
Starting. How did you get into dock starting? Or now, how did you get into foiling? What was your first foil experience?
I was in Sardinia, Porto Pollo, 2 years ago because I went on holidays with my family, with the two little kids and the Tesla.
We gotta talk about it. All these.
Because of the Tesla, I usually go on holidays where you can charge the electric car. Yeah. So I checked out, where can you charge in Sardinia? Oh, this looks nice. I had no idea that this was a kite windsurf foiling mecha, no idea. And I haven't really done water sports up until then.
Really?
And then I arrived in Porto Pollo and I saw, oh my God, this everyone's surfing, kiting, whatever. I took some kite lessons. About 5 days in a row, I went kiting, but it was a struggle, man. The body drag, the self-rescue, the long lines. Yeah. I was like, oh, and then when you were actually riding, there was still a little bit of chop on the water and it went like and I saw all these foilers like just gliding, you know, effortless, and I was like, this kind of looks way better, and I wanted to try it. So I tried over there at Honu. I told them I want to go foiling because I used to go wake surfing there sometimes. That's what I did sometimes.
All right.
And I told them I want to go foil, and then he pulled me behind the Zodiac. What's his name, man? I forgot. The Ooh. Chef from Honu, the boss.
Oh shit.
We should know, man.
Yeah,
I know.
It's gonna come up. It's gonna come up.
Yeah. I probably don't know because I'm talking English.
Terrible. But, wow. Sorry, man.
Yeah, we're very sorry, but Honu is an epic place. And he called me or he texted me on WhatsApp and said, yeah, I have some people who want to learn how to teach others how to foil from Zurich. And so there was, I think, not Kilian Brown, but the other Brown, I think he's even related to him. He's the Axis distributor in Switzerland.
Okay.
And he and someone who has a wakeboard boat in Lake Zurich, and they were all on the boat, and he taught me how to foil that first day. And I first started on the knees, and then I got a big board. Yeah. And then I stood up, and as soon as I was the first time, as I was really flying on foil next to the boat in flat water, just I tried to pump it a little bit, and I realized, oh my God, it feels like bottomless powder.
It does.
And
it
I was
does.
Hooked. I was hooked. Yeah, I couldn't stop. Then I just went wake foiling. I learned to ride the wave behind the boat, and I soon started pump foiling. I rented the setup also from Honu, And he just gave me the setup and said, yeah, go try. You can
really?
Do it. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. No. Wow. Okay.
And I was in the like, yeah, I didn't get hurt. So that was good.
But that's good.
That was...
So you did that in the harbor at home?
No, he had like a ladder out there.
Oh, okay.
In the Delta.
Yeah. Okay.
And I could try and start from there. And I started, I fell. So after like 10 minutes, I was like, oh man, this sucks. But I just kept going and going. Yeah. And it felt like when I learned skateboarding, you know, like learning to ollie, learning how to kickflip.
So you know these things.
Yeah, it was the same feeling, you know, just to improve a little bit every time you try.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get to pump the first time. Then I bought a secondhand setup. There wasn't really a complete setup you could buy anywhere.
Really?
They were like super expensive, like $3,000-$4,000 if you want a board and a good foil and whatever.
That was 2 years ago, huh?
Yeah, 2 years ago. That's incredible. Now you can get it for $9.99 at Costco.
New.
Yeah, new.
Crazy.
But then I paid like $750 at tip to tail for a kite foil board that I used to pump. And it was the least expensive board you could get.
Wow.
It wasn't even made for pump foiling. And I screwed on a second-hand Gong set I got from Claudio. Yeah. It was like a crossover V1 tractor.
V1?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I made it work.
Okay.
I went 7 days in a row to Amat and I taught myself how to pump.
Nice.
And after 7 days, I could do a round trip.
Around the pole?
Maybe not even around the pole, but just go up, turn around, okay. Come back to the dock, you know, like 30 seconds pumping.
Because okay. That was like my first goal, going around the pole and coming back. And as soon as I like was around the pole and can see the dock again, like that was the first part. I was like, all right, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, that's... exactly. That's also where you learned.
Yeah, that's why I started pumping goofy, even though I'm not goofy.
That's crazy. That you could crazy. Easily start regular there.
I cannot. I really cannot. I look like the biggest amateur there is. But that's... So 2 years ago, you started dock starting.
Yeah.
And then what happened? You just kept on dock starting or did you start wing foiling then?
That was I started wing foiling in fall.
Back in Porto Polo or here?
No, at Mortensee Park. I took one or two lessons, I think. Drifted downwind really far. Oh man, there's a nice boat. I want to get
that's
it. That's a great wave. That was the boat I caught the other day from Gunten to... from Spiez to Gunten.
Really?
Yeah, towing.
Nice.
On the boat, that pumping over.
Yeah, I saw that.
It has an epic wave. Yeah.
I would be ready for that. Man. I think I'm ready now.
The wave is super. It was like 28, 30 kph. It felt so good. It's way bigger than...
Did it get faster between Spiez and Gunten?
Yeah, it was super fast. I was almost 30 kph on the wave. Yeah. Anyway, I was trying to wing foil and I bought some gear from Gong because I knew I already had some foils.
Yeah.
And started wing foiling, went wing foiling a lot, also continued to pump. Then my goal was to be able to jibe before I go back to Porto Polo in spring with the family. I managed just to be able to jibe because I also tore a little bit of my Achilles tendon.
Yeah. Oh, this wave is even better.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah, you chose the perfect time to...
Terrible. What are you doing here on dock? We should be on the water. Anyway, you got it?
I hurt my Achilles tendon. Yeah. Extreme carving, you know, I overdid it a little bit with the super wide boards and soft boots. And then... Anyway,
I
got back to wing foiling. Snowboarding. And then I got back to wing foiling after 2 months and I just learned how to jibe in spring, like I think April or something. I could jibe in one direction, maybe the other, then went back to Porto Polo and I learned like jibe tack all the four ways.
I still have trouble with the tacks. I can like one way
with the wing. It's okay. so easy.
One way is okay, but the other one I still struggle, man.
Goofy or regular or just front side and back side?
Front side and back side.
Oh no. I can do both tacks easily.
Alright.
Yeah, with the wing. But now I don't even wing foil anymore. I only para wing, low kite, whatever. Yeah, mainly. I don't use my wings. I solve most of them. I'm just gonna keep a 5 meter when I wanna go in really light wind conditions.
But do we really?
I can also go pumping then.
Right?
Yeah.
So winging. And you got that, you got the chives, the tags. Did you
before
jump
that, I bought the Cyrus XXL setup in November, December, I think.
156,
2000,
that as well.
And after this, I immediately broke the minute and 2 minutes like the same day. Yeah. I was like 30 seconds on the crossover, and then with the new setup, I could pump like 2 minutes.
Did you have some trouble adjusting? Because I remember like my first starts, I fell. I needed maybe 15, 20 starts. from the XLT, the low aspect, yeah, to that. I started to tilt and I didn't know what happened because I couldn't go back. Was that
I don't remember okay, actually, but it felt like I could instantly start it. And it was so much more efficient and easier. Mm-hmm. But then I pumped for 2 minutes, and all winter long I pumped for, I didn't really get over 2 minutes. I was probably a little bit heavier as well. But then I actually sold my pump flow setup this winter now. A year later, I sold it, the Cyrus XXL, because the Ultra Trail was coming out, and I thought, yeah, I'm just going to get that, and I'm going to sell the V2 as long as people still want to buy it. Yeah. I sold it all V2, I got all V3. And I went back to Porto Pollo this year. And yeah, winging was already a little bit over, you know.
Right. And then you hurt yourself again.
I hurt myself trying to peach start the other Achilles tendon this time. Man. This seems to be a weakness of my body. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, ChatGPT coached me through it.
Yeah, I saw that. You're like redneck fixing your stuff.
Because I knew last time from the other foot how
that you had like this angle. And
yeah, that you have to take pressure off the tendon to let it heal a little bit. But I didn't even go to the doctor. I don't know how torn it was. Then I got home and I made an appointment at the doctor's. But it got better so quickly. I was already pumping again. I was like, probably shouldn't waste money on.
That makes sense. Yeah. And now then you said like
it's not 100% yet, but it's not even been 3 months. So maybe it's like 80-90%, but it's getting better all the time.
Well, just don't go snowboarding. Just stay on foil. Not yet. That's good.
Yeah, I will only go snowboarding if it's 100. Yeah.
Okay. But how do you feel if it's 100?
I can tell.
When you go all in. Really?
If I have no pain at all, you know.
Yeah. All right. And then you said you don't really wing anymore. You started low kiting. We have to say low kiting here.
Whatever.
Why do you think that was something that you needed to do? Because was it a downwinding? Do you try to paddle?
No, never. Oh. That didn't good look idea. Appealing to me. I have to get a really big board and it's super exhausting. Yeah, maybe it's a good workout, but other than that, and then you still have a paddle in your hand. And
well,
then
that's a selfie stick, really.
Yeah, I can get a smaller selfie stick. Yeah. I can actually put together and make it small, put it away. You know, no, I wanted to do surf waves. That's all I want to do because, you know, I'm chasing the powder feel.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm chasing this powder feel of just snowboarding huge fields of powder, doing big turns, and that's all I want. I'm in paradise. I'm in heaven when I do that. That's all I want.
We
want
to be surfers, right?
Yeah, I want to surf.
Yeah.
And you couldn't ever surf in Switzerland. And then
I noticed that
it's possible. Yeah. Because I saw some people riding waves from the beach in Port-Talbot and Lac Neuchâtel. Yeah. When I was winging, I saw some people with like bigger boards and they were riding the waves, wing, free fly. I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. So I learned how to read the wind waves with my hand wing.
Yeah.
And every session, like from last summer on, probably summer 24, I was only going out looking for the swell, trying to read the waves. Yeah. But then the wing is always in the way,
yeah,
you know,
terrible,
it sucks.
Man. Yeah.
But I got quite a good feel for how you surf the wind waves. And then the Parawings came out. I didn't buy a BRM, but then the Ansys, I bought the Ansys V1. I tried 3 sessions. I struggled so hard with 3 meter. I couldn't get up. I got up like once and immediately fell.
Was it not enough wind?
It's probably too much or not enough wind. Yeah, the wind range was really narrow and I never really hit it right.
Yeah.
And also, I never kited really, so.
Okay. Well, you did. You just said.
Yeah, yeah. 5 days.
Okay. So, what actually helped? Which Parawing helped you? Was it the D wing?
Yeah, and then I got the D wings. I saw Foil Rat, I think, on YouTube, and he was like, "Oh, the D wing, it's so stable. You can depower it." I was like, "Oh, that's exactly what I want because the Ansys, if I depower it, it collapses." Yeah. And then I bought all the Flow wings, 3, 4, 2, 5, 5, and then I went first session with the 4.2, immediately got up, jibe, free fly, packed. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Nice. Yeah, it was so good. Immediately worked with
how
the D-Wings.
How was the packing for you? Like, which pouch did you have?
I didn't use pouch in the... I have a Lycra, you know.
And you just stuffed it on there?
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I mean, the first times, I was just holding it in my hand, you know, and then making sure that no wind catches it. Yeah. And that was already great because compared to a wing that is moving around
better.
And inflated, it's much better. And then you can just throw it out. That's a good part of the D-wings. You throw them out and fuck, they're back.
Yeah.
Works pretty well. And then, then I went downwinding all the time when there was
wind
in winter.
Man. Yeah. It looks so cool. I was like, I'm downloading. This is amazing. I'm like, all right, I need to go. Yeah. Man, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
But you don't use the D-Wings anymore, do you?
I sold them all.
Nice.
Because now I just ride Gong. It took the D-Wings and the 3-meter Gong Plus V1 to Porto Pollo. Tried it out. 20 plus knots. The D-Wing on the beach, I was very used to it. The Gong, I tried it on the beach. I was like, oh my God, I can't go out. This is not going to work. It collapses when the flight on the front wing. But then I did it anyway. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised how easy it was. Yeah. You just have to make sure you don't overdo it on the front lines. Yeah. Just hold it here and then you can still move it in the wind window. So I got used to that with no problem within 5 minutes. And then I decided to sell all my D-Wings and I'm going to get the Gong V2 now. I ordered 2 today, man.
Nice.
I think they're good.
I still have a D-Wing. If you're in the market for a D-Wing 4-2, I'm happy to sell it to you. Even ship it because, honestly,
they're great.
I don't like him too much.
Don't say it when you want to sell it.
No. Look, for Gav at Hydrofoil, amazing guy. He was on podcast as well, episode linked somewhere up here. He said that the D-Wing is in his top fives of all the power wings there are. And it's stable, but for me, I had just the tips, it wanted to go down a little bit. If it was at the low end, the wind, it just wasn't easy maneuverable. I prefer the Roger that is more active, that is agile, that pulls you to the front. I prefer that. It's just another way to ride. So the D-Wing, super power wing. It's just not my power wing.
It's great to learn. It's very stable and easy to depower.
Yeah, really all good. So if you're in the market, make sure to hit me up. Plus, I have too many Parawings now because I'm doing this Parawing comparison. And for the first comparison, I have the D-Wing. For the second comparison, that I'm going to start in 1.5 weeks, I have the F2, the 777. I have the Paia from BRM. And I had to buy all of these with a discount, yes.
Oh, but my God.
Now I own them and I cannot use 3 different 4-meter Parawings.
Man.
No, you know what I mean. So that's going to be up. If you don't want to miss that, subscribe. That should be something. And I'm looking forward to the 777 because I heard good things about it. It's not known that well. Indy says it's a good one. Dav, a Hydrofoil, says it's like his secret weapon. Like it's his number 2. So that's really cool. It's very light material.
Yeah, shout out to Schnitty, by the way. He coached me a lot when I was starting to parawing. We were like phoning for half an hour while driving the car.
He's such a cool guy.
Or even longer. He was just explaining because I was like worried. Shit, how am I going to get out? How am I going to get up? How do I do this parawing thing? I had no idea. And he was just coaching me one-on-one.
So cool.
Just like this. Thank you so much, Schnitty.
Follow him here, Instagram.
Schnitty on foil.
Yes, really cool guy. Anyway, people are super chill, helping each other out all the time. It's like this foil community. I don't know how long it lasts.
By the way, are you gonna get the Gong V2 as well?
Someone offered
it to you, right?
Yes.
Don't you get it?
I don't remember who offered it.
Just look for it on WhatsApp, man.
I have to. The thing is, that's true. I have to
it's
see
it's probably
that I get
good. It's
the,
probably
the
good.
I think so. Also, I'm
cheap.
A little, how much is it?
Like $300.
Yeah, that should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long did they take until they are here?
I ordered them today. A half weeks.
All right. Yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm going to have to check because Gong would be super interesting. I wrote them a couple of times. Like, are you interested in showing your product? I'm going to send it back my expense. No, it's fine.
Yeah, probably they have enough sales. So.
Probably. But it would be interesting because people are looking for a cheap, good pair.
Absolutely.
Wings. Anyway, so you got that dialed in. You ordered the V2. When was the last time you went pair winging? Wind hasn't been good.
It hasn't been good. Yeah, I had like a really horrible session the other day, like maybe 1.5 months ago, when it was just barely 12 knots or something, and I was like, it feels good with the 4 meter. That's enough. I can do it. So I went out, got on foil to the middle of Lake Neuchâtel, fell, couldn't get back up for 2 hours. I was just dragging back for 2 hours on wind to the next village.
What happens if you are in a situation like that? Do you curse?
But then that was the beast day when everybody went with Balt, Raticulo, Nils Mango, Yom, Nitti. Everyone was there, man. Even Claudio and like 10 people. And we all went at the same spot in Gorsje and went to Yverdon. It was just a perfect run. It was a dream.
Oh, yeah, I saw yeah, that. Man.
I had like 30 minutes yeah. plus free fly. I
was like seven guys on foil.
Like 10. That. And I used the ultra trail stab in the back with -1 degree shim. And I really liked it. Because it just gets you up on mast even easier, you know. You have a little bit more lift and you have so much power of the wave.
Nice. Speaking of lift and stab, how do you like my shirt?
Hey, I love it. I saw it from Gwen.
Gwen, right?
Yeah, I thought so, I won it. Yeah.
I ordered 2 of them. Foilo.
Nice.
Link is in the description. And I'm going to send one to another friend.
The stab and foil nipples.
Really cool. So if it gets cold, more lift. Yeah, so what was I saying? So you had a terrible session. When you are out in a terrible session, do you curse? You relax?
Oh, yeah. I curse. Yeah, sure.
In the world.
But then, I mean, I go through like waves, you know. I curse a little bit and then I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. I see. Look, I'm on the lake. I'm breathing. I'm alive on this planet. That's what
true.
Is this?
That's true. You're so lucky.
You could just be thankful, you know, for every breath you take. So
that is
I just take
true.
It.
Speaking of
and
bad
paddle,
sessions.
Paddle back.
Speaking of bad sessions, we tried to pump around Brienzersee. You pumped around Brienzersee. Maybe you can recap that session because I had the beta foil and I thought that I knew how to pump with it because the week before I used it quite a lot. I pumped for a couple of 100 meters, felt super easy. So I thought, all right, I'm ready. I did marathons. I did an Ironman. I'm ready to go.
And you did an Ironman?
Yeah. Well, it was 2 years ago, but still.
2 years ago? Yeah, man, you're super fit.
Well, I thought I was. I lacked the technique. Anyway, so we started. And I said, yeah, you go first because I can start from anywhere. And you went and you waited on the raft for maybe 45 minutes or
well,
something
I had
like
to start
that.
Like 3-4 times from that rock. I wasn't immediate.
Yeah, but still. And then I had trouble starting. Then once I started, I still had trouble to finding that rhythm and the cadence as well. But for you, it was an amazing like trip around the lake. Can you maybe tell our listeners who haven't seen one of your 2 newer reels what happened? How you went through or around Lake Brienz? How was that for you?
Yeah, you came up with the idea. You know, you asked me because I had the Ultra Trail 4 XL from Gong. You asked me, yeah, do you want to do a long distance pump? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, what about Loch Neuchâtel or something? And you were like, no, we need a little bit more mountainy lake, you know, less seaweed and stuff. I was like, okay.
Well, that is true. That's true. I stand by that. Yeah.
And then we decided on Lake of Brienz. And I thought, yeah, let's do it. But night before, honestly, I didn't sleep well.
Really?
Yeah. I slept like 4 hours and then I was like lying awake in bed and thinking about shit. What if I fall there? What if I fall there? I'm only in my speedos, man. I'm going to have
gonna
hypothermia.
Well.
I'm going to die, you know, with my kids. I have no dad. You know, I couldn't go back to sleep. Yeah, it's not funny.
Oh, really? Then, yeah. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's part of the process, right?
That's true.
And then I got there, but I was super motivated and we started the first leg, no problem, because I got the ultra trail like not even a week before, I think.
And you managed, what was your maximum? 20 minutes?
Yeah, I tested it in Port-Albon and my maximum was about 20-ish minutes. Yeah. But I always get stopped by seaweed or some technical mistakes. And the day before, Marvinho, we did it on a Tuesday, right? And on Monday, Marvinho, he was asking me, yeah, can I try the Ultra Trail 4XL? Maybe the HTW that you also have? I was like, yeah, no problem. I came to him. To his place at Bielsee.
Okay.
Well, he was on holidays there. And he tried to pump my wings. And I tried to pump her up with the 4XL. And I tried the first time to shim something else than 0 degrees. So I put, because that was the technical mistakes I made when I fell after 20 minutes. It was like just, with nose down. And that was it.
Okay.
And also, Florian Cosa tested my Ultra Trail 4XL. And he said, I have a little bit, I'm not enough front foot. It's all in my back foot. And I was like, maybe he's onto something. So I shimmed -1 degree with the fuselage on top.
Yeah.
That means you have more lift on the front foot. Yeah. A little bit more drag probably, but also more lift. A little bit slower, more lift. I also tried the +2 and that was too much. But I tried the +1 and I was like, oh man, I can go for an hour. Yeah, that was the day before Monday. And Marvinho.
So for everyone listening, if you lack or if you're not as long as you can go, it's not your
shim.
Technique. It's
a
shim.
Yeah. But I immediately noticed, I can go long. I can crack an hour with with a -1 degree shim. And I went for it, but then Marvin was already eating, but then I fell because of some seaweed. And it was the day before I had a long pump ahead. So I thought, yeah, I had like an attempt, 30 minutes or something. I was like, yeah, let's stop it. Went back home, didn't sleep well, got to you, and first leg, no problem. Yeah. 3 kilometers to that
trap. A long break.
Yeah, I just waited for Matt. He didn't come. Yeah. I was doing some Instagram, wasting
checking
my
mails.
Battery. Yeah. And there were some people, because I didn't have no water on me. Yeah. You know, I could drink from the lake, but it's not ideal. So I asked these people who were camping by the lake, yeah, can you give me some water? They were like, yeah, sure. I had some water. I waited for Matt, waited. And some point I was like, yeah, I'll go to Iseltwald. I feel like going. Went to Iseltwald and there I waited for Matt and waited. Had something to drink and waited even longer. It was like, I'm coming. But yes, like, meanwhile, you were walking back. It's assembling your foil in the car.
I had to. It didn't.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Then
obviously.
Assemble it to get it. I was just waiting forever, like for an hour or something. And then you came to Iseltwald. We started from the dock, right?
Yeah.
From the legendary crash landing on U-Dock, where you have to pay $5 to get in.
Exactly. Because a lot of tourists are going there to take one picture and then leave.
Yeah.
And the community there, they said, all right, we need to have an entrance fee to get on that dock. So this, there's still, I don't even know how you call it. It's like this barrier where you pay $5, you go there, you take your picture, you leave, and then the next one enters.
Or you go there, you do your dock start, and
exactly,
you leave. That's exactly what we did.
That was so cool.
And it was cool. And you got a few cool shots on your Insta, on your helmet.
Yeah.
I pumped past you.
Yeah.
It was a little bit
at
faster,
least.
My foil.
Yeah.
And then you fell again.
Yeah, again.
And I heard you fall in the back, so I turned around because I was feeling good, you know.
Yeah.
I turned around, came to you and told you, hey, I'm just going to continue. You were like, oh, yeah, just go. And I was going on for like 40 minutes. That was personal best, more than 8-9 kilometers probably. And across the Giesbachfell, you know, there's a waterfall coming down in turbulence. I could feel it.
Really?
Yeah, I just went around some boats. I was lucky with the waves that they didn't disturb me too much.
Yeah.
And then there's the Aare coming in at Lake of Prince, and it has quite some current, driftwood,
and
everything.
And you don't see anything,
and
it's all brownish.
I saw it, and I went a little bit out to avoid it, but also if I fall there, I have to swim back super far, like 500 meters or something. It sucks. Pulse was already 175 or something, I saw on my watch, and then I pumped through there 180 plus because I had to focus and correct for turbulence, hit some driftwood, didn't fall, and then I could bring my pulse actually back down.
Nice. Past, how did you do that?
Just because
slower, focusing on your basic moves.
Because I didn't have to correct so much for all this stuff.
All right.
It was calm after this, and I thought, yeah, I can go right until Brits, man. I'm gonna crack an hour right now just doing this, man. Yeah, first time for an hour continuously. But then some reed caught on my foil and then fell, and I had a nice start back at the Aareksteg. It's a really nice stock in Brienz, perfect for pump foiling. Probably nobody uses for it, but
all
it's
right.
Perfect. Went to Brienz, refueled a little bit at Pirate Bay, where they, because I saw, oh, Derek can start easily, and I bought something to drink from them. But I only had like Snickers and like Power Bar, but I wasn't really prepared, you know, nutrition wise. I was absolutely underprepared. I also didn't load on carbs or anything.
Yeah.
Because generally, I eat less carbs, you know, because I was so fat in winter that I had trouble with my abs, actually.
How so?
Because they drifted apart, like a pregnant woman's belly in the third
really?
Trimester. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I was like, after snowboarding, I was like, oh, I have this belly ache from the abs. What is this? And really, my wife's a doctor, and she was like, yeah, lay on your back, raise your head, and she was like, oh yeah, look here, you can put some fingers in between your abs. You have to.
That's what happened to her, probably. Huh?
Yeah, that's happened. Okay. But then when you give birth, it comes back together, no problem.
So, you gave birth,
so I realized I have to give birth to a lot of fat.
You let your pasta go. All right.
Yeah, I didn't really load on carbs for a while. A small deficit, like half a kilogram a week or something.
Okay.
And that was pretty good. Yeah, so that's also why this was possible in the first place, because if I was still like 85 kilograms, I probably couldn't pump as long on this Ultra Trail 4XL. Maybe I could. Now I'm like 75.
Okay.
And it's much easier to pump. You have 10 kilograms less.
Obviously,
you can pump much
sense.
Further.
But still, I still think the technique is so important. But let's talk about that later. Then after Brienz, you refueled.
I reefed a little bit, continued on, felt a lucky start. And then I started to cramp a little bit. It's getting hard. And Matt, I knew he was waiting. I shared my location with you. You knew where I was.
And I think you should support me. That was cool, like, man. I'm going to stop. I'm going to support you.
I couldn't have done it without you. And
probably support. Could have, because you wouldn't have had
probably would
wait
have given
so
up because I was cramping. My pulse was going up like 180 immediately after the other side. I was like, shit, why is it so high? And it ended up being an electrolyte problem. So we refueled some sodium.
Yes,
and with like the salt sticks. Nice. That was good. And and then just got then with some headwinds.
Yes, and then I felt so bad because that was just because we were late and that was my mistake.
Otherwise, I would have been already done with the lake, you know?
Yeah, sure, but that's true.
But I was waiting for you, but then you gave me some salt sticks.
All right, so
went into the headwind, fell like one or two times, had lucky starts really.
And then you thought about stopping that project.
Yeah, because I fell at this horrible, I'm sorry, but it's really a horrible
construction site.
Yeah, it's actually done. It's like holiday homes, but no one's in there. It's abandoned. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And there are trees in there.
Lost place.
There are trees, like 30, 40 meter long trees under the water, and you don't really see them. And I wanted to get out of the headwind, you know, and just go close to the shore,
kind of bay, yeah.
And then I hit these trees and I couldn't start anywhere there, so no starting possibility. I walked back up, saw you, and you were like, yeah, I have a date with my girlfriend.
Yeah, plus the it
and
bad.
There
it
was a and there were like super dark clouds. I don't want to get hit by lightning, thought about my kids, and then but then I decided, yeah, man, why not? It's been, I came so far, I got so lucky so many times. I just gotta do it.
Yeah.
And then I pumped all the way to Bernie. I have to call you later. And then I pumped all the way almost to Berninkenberg. And then there was like a fisherman, by the last dock. And I just stopped there and he was chilling there waiting for the storm to pass with me. And there was that super double rainbow all across
the
lake.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. It was beautiful. And it was like, this is my sign. I'm going to go.
But you know what? I was there at the finish and I saw the rainbow. And I was like, you have to come now. We need this finishing shot with the rainbow. And you just didn't come. I was like, probably like you when you waited for me.
Yeah.
When is he coming? I tried to call you. And then suddenly I spotted you at the horizon. Like, finally he's coming. Rainbow was still there. It was not as powerful anymore, but it was there and you got there super happy. And I got excited for you, man. I was like, come on, cheering you on.
I was ecstatic. I didn't think it was possible. And I was like, man, I'm the first one to ever go around this lake on the pump foil. But I'm sure this is going to be a thing soon when the boats are so efficient. Yeah. More people are going to do this.
I'm sure.
Plus, but I can forever say I was the first.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You need to like have a plaque somewhere in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And then people can like put their names
in. We're gonna do a Speedo statue.
And also there, that would be cool. The cool thing about Lake Brienz is really the seaweed situation.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful.
Less
buildings than here.
But seriously, Lake Thun was cleaner. Probably also a thing. Weather thing. Because before it was a little bit stormy, you know. And then it comes down from the mountains into the lake. And you have all this driftwood and leaves. Way more in Lake Brienz than I had in Thun.
Okay. But usually you have more seaweed, but you managed to go around them. All right,
it wasn't that bad, yeah.
We're going to take a quick commercial break here. We're going to be back, and you can call him back if you want.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. All right, we're back. Thank you to our sponsors. We don't have any sponsors, still. If you like the show, if you want to sponsor an amazing show, cheers.
Cheers.
All about foiling. Hit me up on Instagram, write me a mail, whatever, get in contact. And, you know, doesn't even need to be foiling related. Like, we are middle-aged men, mostly. We need hearing aids. We need sunscreen. Right? Or we need Speedos. So, let's get into that first. Because you're always foiling in Speedos. Why? When did that start? Okay, now the why is clear. It looks amazing. But when did it start?
Well, you know, foiling. Maybe that's what I wanted to say before, because we haven't touched on that. We have to make a bigger weave here, as Trump says. Because foiling to me kind of has a spiritual dimension to it, you know. The first time I had a real downwinder with 30 knots from Neuchâtel to Yverdon-les-Bains, like the entire lake, like 30 kilometers.
You did the entire lake?
Oh, yeah, it was like in February, March, something.
It's good.
Yeah. I was just flying, passing down the lake, you know. I started with a few guys, but I didn't know where they were. I was just on my own, as fast as the wind. No wind. It was a storm around me, but there was no wind. I was just gliding, infinite wave, in Switzerland, you know, and in this beautiful place. And I was just, this was trippy as fuck. It definitely had a spiritual dimension to it for me. It was just completely in the moment, you know, in the flow state. So that was insane. And also with Lake of Brienz, when I got below the rainbow, when I came back, towards the end of Lake Thun, when I just want to make it, you know, on these limits of human experience, that's where you really get down to the nitty gritty, but where you really feel alive. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I had these experiences before, even without foiling, but with other sports or substances, etc.
Are you a religious man?
Not at all. My dad's a preacher man, but
Oh, really? But
not religious in the classical sense. So I'm not a member of the church anymore. I do weddings for a living. These are non-religious weddings. People who want to get married and have a nice ceremony and a ritual, and I tell their love story. They say their vows, and so we make a nice ceremony for like 30-40 minutes. That's what I pay my phones with.
That is so cool.
And I love it. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
Since 2019, I guess. Yeah. And
we continue just right
it was
there.
The speedo was the idea, right? So,
yeah,
so definitely has a spiritual dimension to me, and also being naked is something I really enjoy. I'm a super hairy dude, you know. I don't need clothing most of the time. Yeah, I'm already in clothes, you know. I came into the world this way, and I had at Fusion Festival I had one experience when I was clothed, and then I went showering, got naked, and I felt perfect, exactly the same. And I realized it doesn't matter if my clothes are on or off, I just need to feel great. And so I don't really like wearing swimsuits, you know. If you get out of the water, you have this wet piece of clothing. Yeah. This is something I really don't like. Mm-hmm. I prefer being naked, and that's the closest I can get to naked without
the police coming.
No, it's actually allowed being naked in Switzerland if there's no sexual intent.
Really?
Yeah. And then if somebody complains, maybe you will get in trouble. But usually, if there's no sexual intent, you can be naked. But if you wear a speedo, it's like absolutely that's probably the minimum you can wear, and you don't get in trouble at all. So, and it feels fine. I got used to this. I go swimming like this, and I also go foiling like this if I can. You know, if I go wing foiling and downwinding, then I wear a vest and a helmet because, you know. But just pump foiling.
Your kids.
But just pump foiling, like long distance. It's also nice to have as little weight as possible. Yeah. No wet clothing. It feels great. And that it looks great, I mean, this is subjective.
I totally agree, man.
I don't care, you know. Some people may like it, others may not. Yeah. But it's not why I do it. I do it because it feels good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's why you should do it.
That's why you should do anything in life. Three pairs, I guess.
Oh, really?
Red, a blue, and then that colorful one. That's not even a Speedo. It's some other brand. But
are you sponsored by Speedo?
No, not
Did
yet.
You ask?
Not yet. I will have to ask them.
You have to ask
them. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much views did that Tuna Say video get?
100K on Instagram. Yeah.
After what? A week or so?
Yeah. It was.
That's viral.
That's my best reel. It was worth it, after all, to carry around this Insta360 cam all the way, man.
Definitely.
Like the day before, I made it float, you know, because I didn't want to lose it really. Yep. And so I
what do you put?
Put some butter noodle, you know.
Yep.
So some foam. No, it's some foam for the kids use to swim. And it's actually round, and just cut off some and put it on the back. I asked ChatGPT what I should use.
Nice.
And then it worked perfectly fine with some Gorilla tape.
Okay.
Made it float. And that's what I took with me. Put it like I could also bite on it to start.
And then when you breathe, like before you start, like
Yeah, oh, yeah, because I have the long form video as well. Yeah,
and you watch the whole thing.
I can. I'm just focusing before every start.
Like the start in dog starting, that's also quite spiritual. or you're hyper focused.
You're just focused.
It's like super zen moment.
Yeah.
You yourself, no excuses. It's like golf.
It's a little bit like golf, yeah. And then you go for the hole in one.
Yeah, or you make a what's it called that a mulligan where he's just like, oh, I'm gonna go again. It didn't count.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
I did a lot of those. all right, so we have to speed up here, and then we have to talk about
now. Rock start is like chipping, right?
No, the beach start. Yeah. We have to talk about that beard, man. That's an impressive beard. You say that you shave it every 2-3 years, stuff like that.
Yeah, whenever I feel like I want to get rid of it, I just cut it all off. And then no one knows me for a week or two.
I wouldn't recognize
or like a
you.
Day at least. Yeah, I go like I'm on the street, I'm like, hi, and they're like, who the fuck is this?
You cut your hair as well when you...
No, I think a few years ago, I realized, yeah, I'm going to get bald at some point, so I'm going to grow my hair.
Who isn't?
One last time. That was like more than 10 years ago, so I haven't cut it since.
Oh, really?
But these, they don't get any longer than this, so...
Nice.
I get a natural haircut somehow.
Nice, very cool.
I do as little on my body as possible from the exterior, because I just don't care, you know, as long that's as it so feels cool. good. So the only thing, sometimes I have really long hair here, and it gets into my vision, then I pluck it.
Okay. But You're 36 now?
Yeah.
All right.
36.
You're still young. Well, it depends, obviously, who you compare yourself to, but I'd still say you're young, you're a young dad. How often do you get on the water? How often do you get on foil? With your job, a little more than others?
Probably. Yeah, if it's windy, you know, like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have to look after the kids because Tilly's working, and on these days, I usually can't go foiling. Yeah. But sometimes on Wednesday, my parents look after the kids. Nice. Then I can go foiling.
Because you have to go foiling when it's windy or if the conditions are great.
Yeah, but like 5 out of 7 days of the week, really, if it's windy, I can probably go.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good. So nice. I get a lot. And dog starting, I always have it in my car, you know, when we're somewhere at the lake, I just do a little pump around, even with the kids.
But now, do you often dog start just with your huge front wing or also with the... Like with smaller ones?
Yeah, I also use smaller ones, but I just really like the Ultra Trail 4XL lately, so I have been pumping this a lot. Today I got the Ultra Trail L, which is half as big, the same model, 1,000 centimeters square. I'm really excited to try because I think it's going to be really fast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if I ever take part in a pump full race, because I usually can't because I work on weekends, then I probably going to be really fast. If I can start it, I want to try it out today, yeah. I'm going to try it out later on.
Ah, yeah, you're going to give classes today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the rowers.
But if I'm going to be there a little bit beforehand, I'm going to try it out by myself.
Yeah. We're not going to take too long. Just a couple of like personal questions I have.
I'm also going to play a concert tonight at 1:00.
You're a musician as well.
Yeah, in Zurich. And then tomorrow I'm going to officiate the wedding. In the afternoon, come Uri Altdorf, that's far away. Yeah. And then come back to Bern and play another concert at another wedding. Yeah.
You sing, right?
I sing, yeah.
Do you have different bands or one?
No, band? I usually play with Jones, Hi Cho Life. Yeah. We play like covers, Britney Spears, 50 Cent.
Nice. And you're a singer?
I sing it, yeah.
That's so cool. Do you earn money with that? Or?
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Sometimes officiate a wedding and then with your band.
Sometimes, rarely, but maybe 10% of the weddings.
If you have a wedding, because I'm curious, I got married, what was that? 12, I should know that, huh? 12 years, 13 years ago. And if you have a wedding like that, how much you prepare before? You talk to them once, or how does that work?
I meet them, they decide if they want to book me or not, then I go to their place, we plan the wedding, then I go to the wedding and we do the wedding, then I'm there, drink some Prosecco, make some pictures just from the off perspective, and then I go home. Total, it's about 30 hours of work for one wedding. Okay. But I can work when my kids are asleep, when there's no wind, you know.
I'm just curious. You don't have to answer if you don't want. 30 hours of work. How much do you earn like for a wedding like that? How much does that cost to book you? Where can people
now? You can calculate yourself. 30 hours and what you make an hour if you work for yourself, you know.
Yeah. So like $3,000-$4,000.
That's about it. Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Where can people book you? If they feel like, I never wanted to get married, but now seeing you.
Yeah, I have a very good internet presence, traumich.ch. There are a lot of people who actually offer this service to make a wedding ceremony. But I'm one of them, and I filter out most of the people who don't want to book me. Yeah. So they only ask me if they can check my Instagram, they can see me online, and filters out a lot of people that don't want nothing to do with this bearded dude.
Ooh, that was close.
Oops. And then when I meet them and they book me, it's usually perfect. Everybody likes it. Yeah, me too.
You have like some good wedding stories, like something special that happened?
It's always special, you know. There are always some unforeseen things happen. But yeah, I like it. I also really like it when it gets emotional, you know. I can feel the people around. Yeah.
Because when we follow, when we see each other, you're always like hyped and full of emotion. And that's what I really like about you. So I can really see how this wedding thing works. But still, it's kind of weird. Maybe it's a coincidence that we had Dave West on our show as well. You know Dave West?
Yeah, he's also a wedding singer, right?
He's a wedding singer as well. But is that coincidence? Are people like extroverted who do these weddings?
No, it just matches well with foiling because you can go foiling when there's wind. No.
All right, maybe I should change profession because usually when it's windy and people send me all these messages on WhatsApp, I'm like, yeah, today I have school, I'm a teacher. Tomorrow, yeah, it would be possible. My kids have sailing training.
Just work less, foil more.
Yeah, that's true. That's what we should do. All right, man, we covered your story. We had your foil around Lake Beans. We quickly touched on Lake Thun. Maybe you can just tell us how long it was, what was the biggest challenge, and what would you do differently? Maybe these three things.
Yeah, this time around, you couldn't come with me because it was Wednesday, but I knew I could drop off my kids at grandparents Interlaken, so I could just start at Neuhaus. And I talked to Misha, Swiss pumper, about the wind, and he was like, yeah, in the morning maybe you even have some upper and you're gonna have some tailwind and you can easily get to Thun, and then at 2 o'clock it's probably gonna turn. But it wasn't at all like this, but still it was a very hot and almost windless day, so that was great. But it was a little bit too hot, but I couldn't be fooled around this time around because I preloaded on carbs. I ate a lot of rice and spaghetti the day before, and also some sodium and salt sticks. And I went to Transa and I bought all these power bars and electrolyte gels. And I was like, yeah, let's get into all of this shit, man. Like a real...
like triathlon.
Yeah. Last time I had this, it was when I was running the GP of Bern. This is like 16 kilometers, I think 10 miles.
Yeah.
And I was like 16. And there they gave it out, you know. But then after like 18, I probably stopped running because I had some surgery on my knee because of snowboarding. Okay. And my joints, I was like, oh, I'm getting old, I'm not going to run anymore. Didn't train any endurance.
That's impressive, man.
Not at all. And then I got this Ultra Trail 4XL from Gong, which is just an incredible foil. I could do the Lake of Peace. I could do the Lake of Thun.
Yeah.
If I could do the Lake of Peace. And in between, I also did 1 hour continuous pumping. And I celebrated it with a naked session.
Yeah. If you missed that, here's the Insta. Go check it out.
I also want to show off my tan lines a little bit because that's probably as tanned as I ever got.
did you get like response from Gong? Patrice, did he respond?
Yeah, he actually responded. Yeah. I think he even reposted it in his story.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're ambassador from Gong?
I am.
What does that mean?
I get 15% off it.
All right.
So I could buy the material a little bit cheaper and then I lose a little less when I sell it and get the newest gear next year, you know. That's about it.
So how long was Lake Thun? 30 something kilometers?
41, I think it was 41. In the end. Almost.
Yeah, I should have gone for another kilometer.
Yeah, but I mean on my watch it said like 45.
Ah, shit.
I don't know if it wasn't accurate or what.
No, probably you
I don't know, but then I did the foiler thing and it said 41, so I think it's somewhere between 41 and 45. Right, I don't care.
How many stops did you do?
I think like 8 or 9.
That's impressive. Man.
I did like the first leg, because I knew the first part is going to be the most difficult around these Beatushöhlen, you know, there's just cliffs, you cannot start,
you cannot get out,
you cannot fall, I would be screwed, so I had to really focus there. I went like just in one peace all around this to a super nice dog where I had some berries.
Yeah.
Didn't eat the bee, I ate the berry. And I saved the bee drowning.
Think about the environment.
And yeah, then I was just going on. And then I was cool. I didn't film it because my battery was already getting low because I filmed so much. But I went to this raft. I think it was the Merlikon or something. Yeah. I saw the raft. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop here. Yeah. And then I saw some elderly ladies in the house.
Ah, the one that gave you the hat.
Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, can I have something to drink? They were like, yeah, come in. So I swam over there. They opened the gate, you know, where the boats are.
Oh, wow.
And I just swam in there. And they came with some water and some Schweppes.
You know, that sounds like a cheap porn, man.
No, but they were super nice. They even gave me a hat because they were like, oh, man, you're going to get burned. I was like, yeah, I have SPF 50. It's okay. But then gave me a hat. That was actually pretty helpful. And I continued on. Passed by here because it was still closed. It wasn't 2 o'clock yet. And then I fell right over there. Technical mistake. But there was luckily just right next to it was a private doctor that used to restart again. Then went all the way around Delta to Delta Park. That was super nice. Ground effect.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you.
Because it was so shallow. Super shallow. I was scared I was going to touch and I'm going to fall and I can't start. It was close sometimes, I guess, but I could absolutely, my pulse dropped a lot.
Really?
Yeah. It was really easy to pump. It's 20, 30, even maybe more percent less effort, I guess,
nice,
when you have to ground really close. It's easy. Yeah.
And at the same time, your heart rate goes up because you're nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Then I went to Delta Park and I was looking for an opportunity to recharge my camera because it was like a 10% battery.
It takes forever to recharge.
Yeah. But then Delta Park Technical Services, I ended up with them. And they had like a fast charger, USB-C, and it went quite all right.
And then the home stretch, a little headwind I saw.
Oh. Yeah, and then from Delta Park on, you know, my legs started getting tired. There was a headwind. I was like, when is this going to turn?
Yeah.
It's not turning. Just a little bit of headwind all the time. I was struggling, but I was just going on around Spietzberg. That was cool.
Yeah. Were people there in Spietz? Did you stop in Spietz?
In Spietz, I stopped. I saw one pumper.
I don't remember his name.
Fu.
One with the long hair?
Yeah. I sold him all my D-wings. You're going to enjoy them.
Good wings.
Yeah. and he went wake thieving. I talked a little bit to him. Had some salt water because I was out of electrolyte gels. I was like, maybe I should replenish some sodium. I really don't want to cramp now. Yeah. Maybe I took a little bit too much sodium. And Buddy Lasigan at Chino's. He's a good friend of mine who runs Buddy Lasigan. Yeah. And I took 2 spoons of salt. It was a little bit much. But I didn't cramp.
Good.
So, it was super exhausting. Then the last stop, Dadlikon, I fell. I thought, I'm going to go on. But then I fell.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because
I'm
super exhausted. And I was checking the wind direction. And so if I'm going to go right by the beach, I'm going to have like about 10 knots, at least as much as we have now here. How much
now
is this?
Now it's a lot.
Yeah, that's maybe 8-10 knots, something like this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, if I go by the beach, I might not make it, and that would suck. I mean, I came so far.
Yeah.
And then I also have to cross the Aare River, current and
no
turbulence.
No possibility to start again.
No possibility to start. Also, some nature reserve, so I don't want to touch this. So I decided to go across the wind, straight across, so that I have the wind like in my side.
No parachute in your backpack to just go over.
And I just went for
honorable.
It, and I was just in the zone.
How does it feel to arrive after such a long, strugglesome?
It's great. It's almost a spiritual experience. Not as much as Priyantesev, because this was like mind blowing. I didn't even plan it, and there was no one around. I was just ecstatic, you know. Yeah. But then there were many people swimming in Neuhaus.
When
I started, there was almost no one. But when I came back, like, super crowded, and some people recognized me and said, oh, you went all the way across the campus. Then I arrived there, and I was like silently celebrating for me. Oh man, I did it. No one has any idea what just happened. Yeah. They're like flirting around me and doing other stuff. And I was like, run, guys. It was so good. Then I realized I forgot to pay the parking and I didn't get fined.
Nice.
So that
That's
was
even
a, that
like
was nice.
Cherry on top. But now you have Lake Brienz, you have Lake Thun, 40 something kilometers.
Yeah.
What's next?
I mean, on the same day, I have to recognize Nicolas Itten. He did like Lake Zug, 42 kilometers in one go. Yeah. This dude is a machine.
But that's just...
Yes, the world record of continuous pumping. He's an insane athlete. I'm just an average Joe, you know. I never ran a marathon. I never did a triathlon. I never did anything like this. I was just basically smoking weed and being lazy the last 10 years, working a little
bit. So that's the way to go if you want to do long distance pumping.
Well, I stopped smoking 5-6 years ago. I only vaporize now and only rarely. But
all right, man.
But an average Joe can do this now with this new technology, you know.
That is amazing.
You can go around Lake Thun, you can go around Lake Brienz, and I bet in 5 to 10 years, if the technology continues even just a little bit, a few percent every year, everyone's gonna do this because it's the best cardio, perfect for your joints. It's so enjoyable. It's a lot of fun.
I have two things I want to address. One, if you hadn't shimmed your tail, would it have been possible to do that?
Probably wouldn't have made Lake Brienz.
That's crazy. It's like half a degree.
But I also have the
one minus.
I have the shortest fuselage, you know. It's really, my ultra trail fork tail is super stable in roll, super free in pitch.
Still, how is 1 degree making such a big difference? And if it makes that much of a difference, why is it even built like that? Is the foil or the tailwind not?
If they recommend the long fuselage, you know, and you would have much more leverage. But I think with the short fuselage, you need a little bit of shim to have the equal front foot pressure. Otherwise, if you push too much on the front foot, you're just gonna put it down, you know, and you're gonna fall. And there's more tolerance. If you have 1 degree shim, you have more possibility to overdo it on the front foot and still go on foiling.
All right.
Yeah.
Then number two. Do we want everyone to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's fun. It's more or less safe if you can do it.
But I see.
But I mean, there are other people who say like, yeah, we don't want to get it. We don't want to get it banned and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sure, we don't want to get it banned. But why should it get banned? Yeah. Maybe because we're faster than 10 km/h close to the beach. You can't ride the boat so fast.
That is true. But I see. I want everyone to do it as well. I just hear from people who are like concerned that it gets banned. Too many people. People are being opposed to foiling. Have you had problems like that as well? Like, or people?
No, man. People love it. Like with the people you see, like they're all like they're cheering you on from the beach, and they go like, "Whoa, what's this?" And kids ask their parents, "Mom, did you see this? What is this?"
I want to do it too.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. And I mean, so many people also around Lake Thun. They gave me water. They gave me snacks when I arrived in the raft or something. People like it. It's the future, guys. Can't stop the future even if you try to ban it, you have no chance.
That is a perfect word to wrap it up. Is there anything else, Hilti, you want
the technical aspect you wanted to discuss, right? From the technical aspects for pumping?
Yes, because I had this workshop with Steve Fleury, Ludois.
Yeah.
And he said, my problem when I pump is that I don't glide enough. Like I pump, but it's not efficient because I need to go over that curve and then glide a little more. And I have trouble implementing that. I did a little 10-minute run with the Condor XL last Wednesday, but I was not really fit, like kind of feverish, so I stopped.
Oh my God, get away.
No, I'm fine now. I'm fine now, but I feel like, well, probably it's also because I don't pump efficiently. Because you must pump very well in order to do that. It's not just, well, you said you never ran a marathon. I'd say I'm a pretty fit bloke. Like my kilometer pace is under 5 minutes, even after I haven't run for a while. I can do over 100K on the bike, no problem. But my pumping is not that good.
But I think some foils just hand it to you. You know, you tried the Ultra Trail 4XL, but you dropped some salt sticks. You did first try, first time ever you jumped on the foil.
Yes,
you started it, man.
But I didn't go for long.
You didn't go for long, but I couldn't see big difference to my technique. So I don't know.
You did like slow pumps, like down.
Nah,
down,
I just down. Try it all out. You know, when I pump for so long, I just try where it is the most efficient. I try to do slower cadence. I observe my body, see how I feel, go faster, higher on the mast, lower on the mast.
All right.
You know, And also, how much do I let it glide? What's the angle of attack? Where do I stop? Where the timing with this, such a short fuselage, such a small stab on such a big foil, timing has to be perfect. I mean, I go on, I was pumping for 3 hours around this lake, and I never got boring. because every pump I was just optimizing the timing, all right, thinking about when and how do I have to push.
You know what? That's a perfect segue into our joint video. We're gonna do a long distance pump foil comparison thing. We're gonna have the Beta foil. We're gonna have your foil Ultra 4.
Ultra Trail 4XL from Gong, yeah.
1000XL. We're gonna have the Ketos
LD.
LD. And we might actually also get something from Axis. Not sure.
The
yet.
Prototype.
So. If you don't want to miss that, make sure to subscribe. It's going to be like in end of October, something like that. Are we going to test that?
Oh, yeah.
So make sure to stay tuned for that. Is there anything else, Hilti, you want to tell the world?
Yeah, go foiling, man. All right. There's love each other. Reproduce or don't. Have kids. Make love. Go foiling. Go snowboarding. Do extreme carving. This is also very nice. Snowboard extreme carving. I do it as well. Check it out on my Instagram.
Do you have like your feet just behind each other? Or like?
No. I have some steeper or even less steep, like 30 degrees, 20 degrees, something like this. Oh. Soft boot extreme carving is so fun if there's no powder. Nice. If the slopes are good, you could carve like this, the black slopes, you know. And on Schilthorn, you can carve them, you know.
I've never been on Schilthorn.
Oh, man.
We're going to talk
beautiful.
About that later. Yeah. Just one last thing I want to...
Foiling is just mind-blowing.
I want to tell the audience, and also you, actually, because people always say it is dangerous. Foiling can be dangerous. And I've never actually heard of someone getting hurt. It's always like a friend of a friend has been hurt. Or watch out, that can happen. So if you have a story where you got hurt... please tell us your story. Tell us also what you could do against that. I want to like.
Do you really want to know?
Because I think it's important as well, like to educate people. So if you have a story like that, please send me a little video in vertical or horizontal, doesn't matter. I'm going to mash it up to a little podcast episode so people know how they can take care of each other. Do you have a story like that? Something that actually happened?
The worst injury I had was probably on the. The boat was off, but I was trying to get on, and I hit you were there with me. I hit the propeller on the boat.
True.
It still hurts.
All right.
It still hurts. It was a few months
but
ago.
But that's not like a foiling accident.
I was wake foiling and getting back into the boat, but all I didn't right. hit the foil, yeah. I never really hit the foil badly. I mean, in theory, you could hit the foil.
Yes.
It would hurt, but then you should just come to my pump foil class, you know. If you want to learn how to pump foil, go to foil.ch. You can... come to my class every Friday at 18 o'clock and I'm going to teach you safely how
also,
to dog start.
Also, foil burn on Instagram.
Foil burn on Instagram. I'm going to teach you safely how to start. If you keep hold of the board at all times, you always fall on the other side of the foil. And I think that's how you should learn pump foiling.
Damn it. I have to ask one more question. Have you tried the, terrible boat approaching? Terrible wave still fun? Have you used a scooter?
I've never.
But for starting, I think if you're scared, that's amazing.
Yeah, to get the feel for the foil, probably. Yeah. I saw like Gwen
yeah.
do the scooter, and he was struggling a little bit at first. I was like, how can
that.
He struggle?
Yeah. I love it that he posted that video because usually you see the pros that can do anything super easily, and if
yeah.
you see also them having a little bit of trouble, that helps a lot.
Shit.
All right,
I have to go. It's 5 o'clock,
yeah.
man. At six,
okay.
I want to
thank you much. Come on the show. Thank you for watching, sharing, and also like giving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. That would help a lot. If not, see you guys in the next one. Next one is going to be Naomi Shepherd. Awesome foiler.
Oh yeah, she's
right.
cool.
She's amazing. All right, thank you, man. That was amazing.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
love it.
Yeah,
amazing.
Man.
Hey, nice to go out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Really cool. Now we have waves.
Yeah, blim this all. Yeah.